And of course, we've got open lines for you now here on Coast to Coast AM. So get ready to let your fingers do the walking and make the call. I'm going to open up a rude hotline. Let me tell you why. But here's the number, 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. A couple days ago, I was going to our local post office out here. And as I was walking inside, they have like a bank line, so you get behind people. And then the people at the post office desk, you know, it's like three or four people, they all say next. And then the next person who's in the front goes. I was walking toward the back to get into that section where you get in line. A lady cut in front of me. If we were driving cars, I would have hit her because she cut right in front of me. Subsequently, what I ended up doing is my foot, while I was walking, hit the back of her foot, the back of her shoe. She turned around and gave me this look and just says, "You kicked my shoe." And I said, "Well, excuse me, but, you know, excuse me. What can you say?" And then we got in line. She was in front of me. No big deal. She turns around and goes, "You're too close to me." And I went, "What?" I'm like 2 feet away from her. All right. I'm in line. And it's not like I'm behind her breathing down her neck. And she said, "Get back." Well, there are people behind me, closer to me than I am to this lady. And she just kept going on and on. And finally, I looked at her. You know me, right? And I said, "Are you having a bad day?" And then she stopped and thought a little bit and went, "I'm okay now." And then she tried to joke and stuff. And by that time, thank God, the postal people had called her up to the table and off she went. Unbelievable. But I'm telling you, strange things are happening. People are rude. So let me give you that number again, and then we'll take the quick break and come back with open lines. 818-817-0021. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Here we go. Let's go first of all to Lincoln, Nebraska, where Gerald is on the wild card line. Hey, Jared, welcome.
Hey, George. It's Jared, J-A-R-E-D.
Yep.
That's okay. In 2005, I lost some weight, and I was looking in the mirror, and I noticed I had some extra ribs. There's one on each side, and they're right about the level of the heart. But when I first looked at it, it looked like it was three on each side. And I met this medium in New York City in 2010, and she told me they were put there in 2000. I used to be a cross-country runner in high school, which is about 2000, 1999. And I was real skinny. There's a lot of pictures of me with my shirt off, and there's no those ribs aren't there. They're big. They're bigger than the other ones, and they're on top of the normal rib cage.
Who put them in?
The medium said, "I've been taken since I was a little kid to graze," or he said they've been taking my whole family except my little sister. And I said, "Why would they take me in the year 2000? This is what I asked the medium. I said, "Why would they take me and put me in a ship off the planet?" Because that's what she said. She said she would like pause for like 45 seconds to talk to her spirit guides or the aliens or whatever, like telepathically. And then she'd tell me. But she said they put them in there to promote me. And now right around, they said they put them in there in 2000, but right around that time, I had fallen in love with this girl in high school, and she was a very religious Mormon girl. And it, like, broke my heart, and I was a track star. I was supposed to go to this Ivy League college, and everything fell apart because I couldn't run anymore. I was, like, messed up. And I actually had a psychotic break, too, all at the same time.
All coming down on you, then. Jeez.
Yeah, so they put those ribs in there. Because I'd taken so much negative karma and held my own, but you know,
let me ask you this:
it didn't hurt anybody or anything.
Did the ribs, Jared, change you?
It was. She said they were put in there to promote me, like in their eyes or something. So, I also got a summer triangle on the back of my head, a scar, right there on the back.
Wow. Yeah, well, you sound like the perfect case of an abductee for sure. In terms of extra ribs, that's a first. I haven't heard that before. We're an international show. Let's go to first-time caller Valentine in Lagos, Nigeria. Hello there. Welcome to the program.
Hello, George. How are you today?
I'm good. I trust you are too.
You see, I'm new to it. I'm a new coast to coast insider.
Well, good. And I'm glad you're listening to us way out there.
Yes, I do every morning, and I've been following your program for quite some time. And I'm a Catholic I'm a Christian and a Catholic.
Okay.
And for quite some time, I've been having some questions about why certain things are not being taught to the people in the church about so many things we're now discovering about who we really are and what we're doing here on this planet. I don't know if you have been reading, if you have heard about the Emerald Tablets of Thought.
Yes, I sure have.
Okay. There are some certain things out there that are really, really confusing to me. Like where the passage is the Emerald Tablet, the Tablet 8, where he talked about flying the past before Atlantis existed. Men there were who delved into darkness using dark magic, calling up beings from the great depth below us, and fought. They came into this cycle. Okay.
All right. Well, first of all, let me explain what the Emerald Tablets of Thoth are. Thoth, of course, being the Egyptian gods, but the Emerald Tablets apparently are supposed to dictate verbiage of something supernatural, maybe from God, that's a long time. But let me ask you, with these tablets, did you pick up anything from them?
Well, there's something that is talking about the serpent, how the masters can have the power to unveil who they are, and people will actually see them. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there's no question about that either. I mean, look, that what you're uncovering is a very complicated series that even mainstream archaeologists cannot decipher. The History Channel on Ancient Aliens, and the only reason I know about it is because they asked me to research this for Ancient Aliens, which is a TV show we have out here. And it's a very complicated series of tablets. It really is. By the way, next time you call us, use your Skype line, because set yourself up on Skype. It'll be clearer for you from Nigeria. And then the number is George 97313. Let's go next to Dan in Orlando, Florida. Welcome to the program, Dan. Good to have you with us.
Hey, George. Yeah, I called a while back when Pete was on. And I actually was going to comment on that situation, but you were talking about people being rude.
Yes.
I'm from Central Indiana. I was a law enforcement officer. And even in that job, I didn't encounter the day-to-day rudeness I do here in Orlando, Florida. Being retired now here.
Just as a normal person, right?
Oh, it's terrible. It is the second worst place to drive in Florida now for rudeness and road rage.
Road rage is everywhere, yeah.
Lauderdale made number one. Orlando's two. And my part-time job, now my retirement job, I drive and deliver goods. And it's a constant struggle just to get, you know, day-to-day through the traffic without people wanting to shoot you or run you off the road.
Why do you think this is? Why do you think people are so uptight?
I think it's the society we're living in, the stress, because people I know here, even me coming down here, think I'm going to be able to do good, you know, after retirement and living in Florida. It's a constant struggle, and people are so worried about making enough money to live and cost of living going up. And they're just, I think everybody's just so totally stressed out that they're rude. And something that's happened here has never happened before anywhere. And I've traveled around other than Indiana. I've been out west. I've traveled quite a bit. I scuba dive, so I've been all over. And I've never went up to somebody like a Midwest saying, hey, how you doing? You know, and people at least respond to you, say, hey, you know, something. But here, you'll go up to somebody and say, hey, how you doing? And they won't even look at you.
No, well, it's even worse, you know, in New York. And I love New York, but try talking to somebody, and New Yorkers will tell you, don't do this. Get on an elevator and try to acknowledge somebody. or say hi. You're not going to get a response.
And that was a rude awakening to me. It took me a long while to get used to it. I'd say, hey, how you doing? Even people at work. I work here in Orlando, and my fellow workers, I'd say, hey, how you doing today? And they would just like look at you like, you know, why are you talking to me? Like, oh, my God.
It's everywhere.
It's a rude awakening.
I love it. Thanks, Dan. We'll also go to our rude hotline. TJ's there in Miami, Florida. Welcome to the program, TJ.
Hey, George. Good to talk to you.
You too.
So I am have my master's degree from the University of Miami. Anxious to get my career going. Haven't been able to get a real job.
What's the degree in? What's the master's degree in?
It's in creative writing.
Okay.
Which, in hindsight, might not have been the most competitive field.
Yeah,
to get into.
Tough field. It's great to do, but it's a tough field to break into.
Yeah, I'm trying to get myself to LA, but in the meantime, I work as a tutor at the university, and this girl is texting while she's driving, and she hits me on the sidewalk. So I have a lawsuit, and the lawsuit settles in September, and the lawyer has yet to pay any of my doctors or to release any of the funds. It's ruining my credit.
Now, these are your lawyers that haven't paid you?
Hasn't paid me, hasn't released any of the funds to the doctors, and is destroying my credit, won't call me back. I'll get a text.
Call the Florida Bar Association.
Yeah.
You got to go after them that way and get their law license yanked. Because right now, how long, and this was September of last year?
September of last year, no closing statement. I co-signed the check over to the lawyer.
Can I ask you how much the settlement was? Are you privy to tell us that?
Yeah, it was $12,000.
All right, of which they're supposed to get a third, right? And then you get the rest.
Correct. And hasn't released any of the money. I did call the Florida Bar and find out this lawyer has a bad history of this type of shenanigans. And I did get the paperwork, and I guess I'll take your advice. I'm gonna file that.
Yep.
You go
right after him. Claim that, and you'll see him scramble after that.
Nice.
Okay.
Good call.
All right.
Oh, thanks, George.
All right.
What was that 80s song you were just playing?
Walk the Line.
That's Walk the Line. You guys should make a coast to coast mix album. You guys play the best music.
We sure do. We'll get it for you in a second. I don't know every song. Let's go to Doug in Redmond, Oregon. Wildcard Line. Doug, welcome to the show.
Hey, George. How are you, sir?
Good to have you with us. Stepping Out by Joe Jackson, by the way, was that song. That was picked by Danny, my engineer.
Are you there?
Yes.
Yes, sir. I'd like to, if I could, I need to get my story out there, George, because I have a baby, and she really needs me.
What's the story?
Well, the story is absolutely, I can swear to God, the truth of the war. I was the witness for our country for the entire war on terror.
What do you mean? Explain.
I was in Germany as a civilian. I'm a horse trainer. Was one of the world's top horsemen. In Germany before 9/11, and a guy asked me to work for Osama bin Laden, sliced open my passport. On YouTube, Where's the Heroes, you can see the picture of the sliced open passport and stuff.
What do you mean sliced open your passport?
Like, was almost on the 11th of September flight.
You've lost me here.
Well, the passports at the time were the type that had the plastic cover in. If someone was very professional, they could slice it, take the picture out, put another picture in.
Of in your passport, they were going to put a picture in of what, like Mohammed Atta or somebody like that?
Another person.
Okay.
The people that did set this up, you know, they threatened to feed me to the pigs if I turned them in. And of course I turned them in.
And this was in Germany?
This was in Germany, yes.
Okay. And so this happened when?
This was in the months before 9/11.
Okay. And then what happened?
Well, 9/11 happened, and I was told a lot of stuff. But, you know, I have to be clear. I wasn't told anything specific I could run to an embassy with. you know, but pretty much things went okay. And then as soon as the German police raided the guy, he phoned me. That was after 9/11. I turned him in. And he said that I was going to be, you know, he gave me one chance to change what I did. After that, it was on my head. And after that, I ended up sick with MRSA.
Oh, really? That's, of course, a bacteria disease.
Yeah, a super bacteria.
A super bacteria, which you primarily get in hospitals. Now, this person who was playing around with your passport, was he one of the hijackers?
He was friends of the Hamburg cell.
Okay, so he was a behind-the-scenes guy.
Yeah, and he was German mafia and wanting, you know, there's we're not the most loved country in the world. He had Russian contacts and was
and, German and where mafia. Is this guy now?
As far as I know, he's a big horse trainer in Germany.
He was a horse trainer too?
No, well, he was learning. He was just starting. He couldn't ride a horse to start with.
And nothing, rider. Nobody ever followed up? Nobody ever chased him down?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I ended up in Palma de Mallorca during the CIA rendition scandal.
Who did? You did?
Mm-hmm.
And now what are you doing?
Well, I'm trying to come back as a horse trainer in my own country so I can, you know, make some money because I got a baby. And
What kind of horses did you train?
It's one of the. I trained the Olympic teams for reining horses, Western performance horses.
What breed were they?
I trained, you know, horses that dominated the Arabian Nationals, the Morgan Horse Worlds, the NFQHA for Quarter Horse National Champion, NOHA Futurity Finalist, Derby Finalist.
You never trained thoroughbreds, so, huh?
No. I almost went to work for the King of Dubai during all of this.
Yeah, he's got a lot of horses. And you're still in Germany?
No, I'm back in the States.
You're back in the States. You want to get, but I mean, have you been blacklisted or what?
Pretty much, you could say. My name got slandered pretty hard. It was supposed to be an online intel op. What was, you know, so a lot of the stuff, that's where the YouTube Where's the Heroes is. You know, so if people went there, they would get one-of-a-kind Trojan viruses that would download on their...
Well, I can see that happening. Like, who's destroying you?
What's that?
Who's out to destroy you?
Well, there's you know, a lot of people have made money off my intellectual property since I was out of the country. So, you know, it's pretty easy to surround a person and slander them and make sure they have no money and...
Well, right. You know,
other people make all the money off of it.
Doug, you sound like the perfect sad case of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. So I don't know how to advise you other than keep pushing. I mean, what else can I say? I'm going to come back in just a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM as we continue with open lines. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. Well, how about time for our little traditional Friday night shout-out? Those of you who listen to us on our more than 560-plus radio stations across North America, hello to all of you. Hey, by the way, get a chance to go up to my calendar. I'm going to be in Vancouver in May and Toronto in June. Full information under host's calendar, and go ahead and take a look at that. And by the way, I'm also going to be in Columbus, Ohio, first week of May as well. All that's posted at our calendar schedule, so I'm having a great time there. But back to the shout-out, Coast Insiders, thanks for what you do and supporting us, XM Talk Channel 168. And then how about the various chat rooms out there? Into Infinity, thank you. Imaginative Worlds, Fantastic Forum 2, Sorcery IRC, those of you who follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and if you're not, please go ahead and do so. Icons in the far right-hand corner of the website, Yahoo Chat, SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, the National Radio Club, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, and our rude line, of course, is 818-817-0021. Off to Patrick in Eugene, Oregon now, west of the Rockies. Hello, Patrick.
Hi, George.
Hey, thanks for holding so long.
Oh, that's okay. Long-time listener.
Thank you.
You know, I've been following you for quite a while, and, you know, yeah, I've been suffering now for 4 years. I know a couple of weeks ago you had a gentleman on that was suffering from congenital heart failure.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said he's getting tired of hearing the doctors tell him that he looks okay. You know, I kind of know what he's going through. I mean, I've been sick now for almost 4 years. And, you know, they're not telling him that he looks okay. It's just, you know, I've been waiting for heart transplant myself. But, you know, as long as you're at home and on medication and stable, they don't even put you on a transplant list. You know, they're not even looking for a heart for you.
No, they're not. So there's really no up. We've got him in touch with Christian Weil, by the way.
I've been listening to your show for quite a while, and I remember a gentleman, I think his name was Billy or something, but you've had him on a couple of times, and you know, he mentioned the doctor's name at the University of Utah, and I called over there. I was kind of wondering myself if there was a way that maybe Christian Wild might be able to help me, you know? I mean, I've been suffering now for 4 years. I've been trying to get some help.
Well, I tell you what we can do, Patrick. I'd like to put you on hold. You give your full information to Will, including your email address. I'll get that okay. to Christian personally, and then he follows up. He will be in touch with you. And then, you know, it's not his job to see if you qualify physically, but he'll get you to the right people who will let you know what they can do.
Get people involved with trials, stem cell trials?
Yep, he does all that. He does all that. Okay, let me put you on hold, okay?
All right, great. Thank you.
I hope we can help you out and everything will work out. Let's go to Brian in Cincinnati, Ohio. The Rude Line. Hey, Brian, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Okay, Brian, thank you.
You had asked a previous call more rude nowadays. Well, I think that it's basically where you live at in the U.S. I'd gone to New York one time and you was using the subway system.
Oh, yeah.
Not knowing my way around down there, and it's quite confusing, I asked some people, you know, for some help, to get around down there, and I truly had people turn their back to me. And, you know, nobody wanted to help me, you know, as if I wasn't even there. Even when I, you know, face-to-face to them asking questions, they didn't want to even want to talk to me.
I think you're right. A lot of it depends on where you are. By the way, let me throw this out to our New York listeners listening to us on WOR in New York. If you could check in with us, if you can get through, I'd like to ask you why so many people have that perception of New Yorkers on elevators and stuff like that, where they don't want to be talked to. And maybe you can help us out and give us some input in terms of why people do that there. But go ahead, Brian.
Well, I live in Cincinnati, and I'm in Kentucky.
I'm losing you, Brian. You're breaking up on us on the phone. But you're right. I think geographically, people react to other people in a different way. But if there's anybody from New York, check in with us. And let me ask you about the elevator thing and all that. And because I know it's real. I just want to know why. Let's go to San Pedro, California. Joe's with us on Coast to Coast. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. I hope I don't break up.
You are. You sound as clear as a bell.
Good, good. Listen, I met you at the Health Freedom Expo in Long Beach not too long ago.
Okay, that's
right. Material, if you remember, on social credit.
Yes.
And I just wanted to discuss that quickly. You know, most people, I'm going to assume, since they listen to your show, they know about the Federal Reserve and
yes,
and
they do.
Money. But the problem is most of the money created in, you know, that's generated in the country is generated through loans. And the bankers just loan money. You know, they create the principal out of thin air, but they never create the interest to pay them back. So we have a musical chair type system. Failure is built in. And, you know, I don't know if you're aware, Frank Baum, who wrote The Wizard of Oz, the one who wrote the original book.
Yeah.
That was an allegory about banking. You had the yellow brick road represented gold.
Right.
The Emerald City. And, of course, the banker was the pay no attention to that man behind the screen.
You're right. No, you are right.
And the thing is, social credit was a system come up. The person who invented it was a Scottish engineer by the name of Clifford U. Douglas. He was a colonel. And he invented it in 1917. Now, there's a group in Canada They're called the Pilgrims of St. Michael. It's a Catholic group that promotes it mainly today. But if we were to implement a system like social credit, what it does, it takes money, and it just makes it what it really is. It's a vehicle of exchange. You can't sew money together and wear it. You can't eat money. And, you know, if you remember the last Great Depression we had in this country, what was lacking? We had plenty of farmland. We had plenty of educated workers who were ready to work. We had everything that we needed except the money. And the bankers called the money in, just like the house in Vegas. If you're playing poker, they call the chips in. You can't play the game anymore.
You can't play anymore.
So what this does is it's a non-usury form of banking. You have, and it would return control of money to the government. Now, we're assuming we have an honest government, which we don't have at the time, but and the government would issue money interest-free. Everyone in the country, every citizen of the country would be treated as a shareholder and would get a monthly dividend check. Now, this is not communism. This simply gives people purchasing power.
How much would the check be?
It would be enough to sustain the basics of life. So you could make it with your monthly dividend check.
Now,
wouldn't be prospering, but you would at least make it.
Would we still be working, doing
do? Yes, because you would not be prospering. You'd just barely be making.
Okay,
it.
So
plenty of initiative out there, but what this does, today we have a situation where we have food rotting on shelves. We have abundance everywhere. And C.H. Douglas also, when he got into the dividend, what he called it was the national inheritance. It's the collective inheritance of the technology, of all the things that were invented before. Because really today, we have a lot of automation. You hear about people losing jobs because of automation. And they're not able to go back to work, or it's very difficult to find work. Well, that automation ought to make it easier. And the struggle for a paycheck shouldn't have to be, if you understand. I'm not talking communism either.
And now, is there still a taxation and everything else?
No, taxation is theft. Under social credit, you would not need taxation.
Gone. Okay, now let me ask
you. You might have excises and tariffs, which is what we used to have to keep this country sovereign, which it isn't anymore.
All right, Lana, let me ask you this, though, Joe. So if people are getting that minimum to get by, not prosperous, but to get by, how do you excel to earn more? How does the good engineer make more than the guy who's getting
This is not egalitarianism.
It's not replacing it.
No. You'd have your motivation, because that wouldn't be enough for most people. This would make it so that you're not starving and you're not homeless. But that is not enough for most people. Most people have a little more initiative than that. And you're not robbing Peter to pay Paul. Paul, it will survive. He's not going to prosper. But Peter isn't robbed of a dime, because
I think Tommy still has your information. Give him a call for me and follow up with that, because we obviously can't do justice to that in an open line call. But I'm fascinated by that, especially when you came up to us. But he's got that. So refresh his memory. Give him a call. Call his office, or send him an email if you would. I think you still have that. Let's go to next up. We go to Colonia, New Jersey. Matt's with us. Hey, Matt. Welcome to the program.
Hey, George. First off, I saw you in Edison for the conference. Thank you so much for coming out.
I had a great time there.
Oh, it was really cool, man. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just had a question. It's actually I think it's called the grandfather paradox.
If you kill, so go back
you know
into time.
The lady, I forgot her name, your guest yesterday, she talked about how one of her clients walked out of their office and they were sent back to a dimension from maybe 70 years
ago. That's right. Dolores Cannon.
Dolores Cannon. That's right. Well, my question is, hypothetically, if he gets sent back to the 30s, and let's say he sees his dad, as grandpa or our great grandpa, and like, you know, he kills him. How is he ever born to do that if his grandpa is now dead?
That's the paradox. You're absolutely right. Does it kill his existence the minute he kills his grandfather?
Absolutely, different dimensions too. Maybe.
Do you remember the movie Back to the Future?
Yeah, and Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, and Marty McFly is up there with his guitar, and he looks at that Polaroid picture, and the picture of him is fading away. And if he doesn't do whatever he had to do, if he fades away on that picture, he's toast.
Right, absolutely. It's
probably the same thing if you go back and do in your grandfather.
Yeah. Thanks again, George, for coming out. I hope you come back soon.
Yeah, I had a great time. We went to Edison, New Jersey, for an event. And first time in New Jersey for an event. And had a great time. But, New Yorkers, call me. Tell me why you cannot say hi to somebody at a subway or in an elevator or walking down the street. You cannot do that. A lot of our network people work out of New York, and they said, don't even waste your time. Just keep moving. I'd like to know why. Let's go to Kauai in Hawaii, west of the Rockies. Charles with us. Hey, Charles, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I guess in Hawaii we would talk to other people that approach us.
You sure would.
But anyway, I want to talk about the alternate energy where you absorb ambient heat from the air. It's a great reservoir. There's plenty of it, and it's kind of like a fuel distributed to the air, and then you absorb heat, you get refrigeration, but you also could get electrical or mechanical power out of it.
That's what Tesla wanted to do.
Yeah, and that fellow a couple of weeks ago, the friend of Alan Sterling, was making an organization for it, too. Remember him?
Yeah. Well, look, it is free energy is the way to go. The problem is I don't think they'll ever do that. It was Joel Gabon, I think. That was, yeah, it
okay,
was Joel.
Okay. Yeah, well, I think it might be too many applications for it to be kept under hidden too much longer. I think it'll come out, and when it comes out, it'll break out suddenly, and everybody will have a more exciting time because it can be used for bad things as well as good things.
Wouldn't you love to have your own power system for your house and never have to rely on the grid?
Yeah, I think further that you'd have each small appliance having its own generator inside of itself, a heat sink pulling in heat, and the appliance doing what it does and throwing off heat, but that's just part of its operation.
That could be.
It comes around again.
I like that. Charles, thanks. Let's go to Henning, truck driving in Ohio on the wildcard line. Hello, Henning.
Hello. Hey. I want to say something about the aerosol and the chemtrails, as they're called.
Mm-hmm.
You had Dane Wigginton in on the show here a little week ago.
Yeah.
And I found that was a very, very interesting show. And as one of your callers says, it was the most important show in Coast to Coast history. I have a request before I say what I want to say. I would like to you stay on that topic and keep staying on that
we
topic.
We do it. We do it about three times a year, Henning. We do not stop. So don't worry about that.
Yeah, but three times a year is not enough, George.
I know, but you have to understand, we're waiting for those whistleblowers to come through. You know, we had the couple of guests, Bill Thomas, Michael Murphy, and these are solid, good people, but we need more than that. We've got to have those pilots who are spraying this stuff to come forward and stuff like that.
Yeah, I understand that. But what I wanted to say about the aerosol spraying, as Dane Wigginton is saying, is taking out the humidity in our air. It's taking out our rainfall in our air. It's drying out the land. It's drying up the farmer's land. It's killing the trees, our terrestrial lungs on the planet. What I am convinced about what they're doing, they're using the term geoengineering, not just in the term of cooling the planet, but it's also to cull the people on the planet.
That's a possibility,
We will be forced to buy Monsanto aluminum-resistant seeds, and there's no studies here in America which is publicized, but studies in Europe where I come from Denmark, there are studies that prove without reasonable doubt that genetically modified organisms for consumption, meaning food, is developing cancers and other nasty diseases in people. And that makes us dependent on the Monsanto food because of dry up. Nothing can grow except if it's aluminum resistance. And then you are dependent on that system providing you with that food. And when we have gotten to that point, they sit on all that power. They sit on the control of that food, meaning if there is no food, well, people will starve to death.
If you can control the food source, it is stronger than weapons.
Oh, yeah. It's the strongest weapon ever.
Yes.
If people don't get fed, they get, you know, they get agitated, yeah. They get, you know.
And that, Henning, is also another reason we keep pounding away at stories about genetically modified food. It was so critical. All those stories are so important.
Yeah, but think about it, George.
Okay.
60% of all food you're eating in this country, United States of America, is genetically modified.
I know it. I know it. Jeffrey Smith, who comes on the program and talks about that, has been warning people for years about these possibilities. But you're spot on. You are absolutely spot on. I can't believe this hour is already gone. My gosh. But we've got another hour to go of open lines for you here on Coast to Coast. By the way, take some time. If you're not liking us on Facebook or following us on Twitter, do so. Simply go to our website, and if you're on Facebook and if you can follow Twitter, go ahead. First of all, with Twitter, we send out little messages every day about the program and things like that or where I'm speaking. That's a great little tool, great little social networking tool. And then Facebook, of course, we do the same. But go ahead and follow us along on that. All of that is up in the right-hand corner at coasttocoastam.com. I'll be back with more open lines, so don't touch your dial.